the California legislation.
And how long has Kendra's law been in effect, and what's been its consequence? Kendra's law, in brief, is just a law that that essentially requires people to accept conditions that they will, if they don't take their medication, people will come to their house and make them take their medication.
That's my best understanding, and it's been unfortunate in this discussion because since there's no language to this proposed legislation, that everybody's been kind of talking in a vacuum. But you're essentially, I believe, accurate in that if a person doesn't take their medication, they would end up back in some sort of locked setting, presumably a locked hospital setting.
And have you had any contact with advocates in New York, and maybe perhaps you know discussing how this has changed the advocate's role, or how it's changed the situation for people who are forced to do this?
That's a really good idea, but unfortunately, given all my other responsibilities, it just took a big chunk of my time just to find the language of Kendra's law.
Is this a done deal here in California, or we got some chance to try to throw some sand in the wheels here?
Well, there's supposed to be a state forum that's occurring in December. You are hooked up to the CIMH website, so you should be getting notices about upcoming events. And I think they're going to have same kind of forum in Sacramento. All indications are that people are really wanting to push this through, so whether this is just going to be a dog and pony show is,
By people you mean, of course, you don't mean people who are suffering from,
people,
conditions.
People who think that for whatever reason is best.
People who have close connections with pharmaceutical companies who will then be able to make even more money on the drug scene.
Certainly, that's one portion, NAMI.
Bureaucrats who have positions with mental health who will then get, still more responsibilities, that sort of thing.
Yeah, a lot of it is a cost-cutting measure as well. The idea being is that to keep people out of the acute settings, you're going to save money, and the way you're going to do that, of course, is to, quote, dope them up.
Do we know if this has worked in New York? Are they saving money?
I don't know that. Again, I haven't had a lot of time to...
But you're going
to
research this thoroughly before a week from Sunday.
Well, I'm going to research it. I'm not sure how thoroughly. What I want to do is give an analysis of what I have, and that's the text of the law, because I think that's the most important. What other people have to say, of course, is also important, but, for in a discourse of rational discussion, you need to go to the source, and that's what I have.
Right. Now, I know we've heard kind of tremors of this rather grim development in different editorial opinions in the last year. What's the soonest they're likely to ram this sucker down our throat or shoot this baby into our arms?
Early next year.
And is there some particular person who's carrying this bill as leading the charge?
Oh, yes, there is. And unfortunately, the name I'm drawing a blank.
I'm going to try to do a little research, too, before the next show. Maybe I can, assist.
I can get the name really easy. I'm just drawing a blank on the name right now, on the legislator, but there is somebody who's carrying it.
Let me ask you something on a completely different subject. You know, of course, about the shooting of Happy John Dine. It was the second year anniversary of his shooting last Thursday, a week ago. I think it was last Thursday. No, it wasn't. It was within the last week that it was his the anniversary. I think it was last Friday. In any case, he was shot dead by police for allegedly displaying a toy gun in a menacing way. And we've been hearing more and more cases of people with mental health labels just getting shot down. Charles Vaughn Sr. was shot in Seaside from a roof for wielding a corkscrew, and Monterey County mental health kind of group under Charles Vaughn Jr. and Mel Mason have been pressing to get some kind of federal intervention that would not only arrest the police officers and prosecute them because they killed somebody, at the very least, negligently, and probably maliciously, if you believe Charles Vaughn Jr.'s account of this. But you also have the case of, other people being killed. I mean, Dan Garcia in San Jose shot recently after a 911 call from his sister asking for help. Then of course, the most recent shooting in Salinas of Jose Hernandez, another person with a psychiatric problem that just wanted him to leave the house, and they ended up SWAT teaming him and shooting him 38 times, 38 bullets. What's your reaction to what Santa Cruz can do to make sure this doesn't happen here again?
What seems to be that, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't know if, you know, whether Happy was, you know, quote, in the system or not, or, it seems like minimally what needs to be done is some, training with the police to discuss what these, I think they're just running on a high stigma and expecting that, because they have, this person has a diagnosis or label, that this person's automatically going to act in a dangerous manner. And it seems like some education and training is due around that issue.
Mm-hmm. Is that likely to happen? I mean, do you have any kind of push or pull, or are the powers that be pressing to have that happen here in Santa Cruz, or is that just one of those back burner issues? And how does the Santa Cruz, you know, establishment stand on this drug them up and keep them home law that's coming up?
You know, I don't know. The medical director who was facilitating didn't give an opinion either way, and I don't have a real sense about whether the establishment in Santa Cruz is in favor of it.
You have an inkling?
I would say, the folks the people who are connected in county mental health who actually would talk to me about these kinds of issues are of a different mindset, so they are more inclined to talk to me, and they are not in favor of it. But again, those are folks who are inclined to talk to the advocate. Mm-hmm. So those folks who are not inclined to talk to me, which I think is probably, I might say, a bigger majority, I don't have a sense about what they're...
So you're just a pariah in your field, eh?
Oh, that's probably a little bit overstated.
Yeah.
Certainly, I have sometimes seen it in the adversarial role to the system.
If people want to raise a stink around this issue, and they can't get to Sacramento, because I know the next hearings are going to be in Sacramento, what can they do locally to put some pressure on this? Should they talk to the representative?
What I would do. I'm not sure the representative...
Assemblyman Keeley, is that the person they should contact?
Right. I'm not sure he's very informed, but maybe one of the... things that...
Would you consider talking to him yourself?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I'm planning to do now that I have help in the office is to do more community-type things, like, you know, writing, maybe doing a letter campaign, or certainly writing a letter from our office stating, you know, our viewpoint on this.
We're talking to George Cavallo, who's an ombudsperson advocate for folks who find themselves in the toils of the mental health so-called system. George is going to be returning on Sunday for a hopefully much longer, more elaborate and in-depth kind of analysis, not just of this inpatient commitment monstrosity coming at us, but I know there's another concern. I read in Dendron, Patient Advocate magazine recently, that the federal government is coming out for favoring shock therapy. With some kind of positive go for the gusto, give, you know, new sparks and new lights and all that sort of thing, new bells and whistles. Unfortunately, our time is almost up here, so what I'd like to do is thank you, George. And is there a number people can call to get more information from you on this issue?
Sure.
Until next week from Sunday when you'll be returning?
Sure, call my office.
And what is that number?
429-1913.
429-1913. Is there anything you want to conclude with?
No, I may not be able to get to answer those questions right away because I'm dealing with like more immediate issues in the system, but I will do my best to return calls.
I appreciate that, George. We've been talking to George Cavallo, a man who pinch hits for folks in the mental health system who somehow want to regain their rights. Thanks a lot, George.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
And George, as I said, we'll be back on our Sunday show a week from Sunday, and we'll be back on Sunday at 11 o'clock, 11 to 1:30. Anybody who's recorded the show, please give me a call at 423-HUFF. Our tape recording broke down midway, and we only have part of this show. I'd like to get all of it on tape. I know that there must be a loyal listener out there who's been doing that. And if not, hey.
Yeah, I think you have one, Robert.
Uh-oh. That must be my one loyal. Now, that's my one disloyal. That's the man who dislodges me from this chair. That's Uncle Dennis. And Dennis, of course, is the fiery, earth-first anarchist dog who is attempting to destroy everything we believe in here in America. And if you want to join him in his wild crusade for who knows what, trees rather than people, what kind of nonsense is this, then stay tuned to Earth First. This is an 8 to 10 show, which is probably the reason why the FCC will be busting in sooner than we think. But hey.
Well, we're against homeless trees. We want every tree to have a home and a forest.
Don't try to sweet talk me, Dennis. I want to thank you for being with me, and I want to thank my guest, Glenn Rabinall, who has been hanging out and kind of keeping a weather eye on what's going on. If you want to tune in between times, of course, lots of good shows on Free Radio, but you can also get HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and get active on these issues. Give me a call at 423-HUF. I'm going to huff on out here with a song from Peggy Seeger and Ewan McCall, and remind you that if you want to come to the Huff meeting, we're going to be huffing it up at the Coffee Roasting Company, downtown Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Be there and bring your own coffee money.
You don't have to be a teenager to drop out of things. Look at you. You jump through the hoop like a dog every time the bell rings. So you do. Your kid looked at you and he dropped out of college. His teenage decision was backed by the knowledge that daddy had dropped out of life. You don't have to take LSD to take off on a trip. Look at you. You make yourself blind so you won't have to look at the world. What a drip. So you do. Your daughter stays out late whenever she can. She don't wanna be like her dad and her mom who've been absent the most of her life. You don't have to turn up the music to drown out the strife. Look at you. You make yourself deaf so you won't have to listen to life. So you do. You sit in the dark with your secondhand dreams. You're not even hearing the sound of the screen. When your kids leave your house off that day.
Dinner alert. I guess we can turn this thing off now.